Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. As I have a guest across the way, it is Fairfield Community High School head football coach Justin Townsend. Coach Townsend is entering, oh man, all right, let me guess. I should know this. Is this your 16th or 17th year? 16th year as head coach at Fairfield Community High School. And has it just flown by? What have you?
It really has.
If you look back on it, what do you think over the last 16 years?
Well, it's first of all, it's flown by. It's hard to believe when you know 16. That's a long time. I think second longest tenured coach in the conference behind Kurt Simon.
Mm-hmm. And Kurt's only 17, right?
17 or 18, yeah. I think. He was actually helped coach at McKendree my freshman year of college when I was there.
Oh, so, is that right?
Yeah. So, but no, it's flown by, and you know we're going to get here pretty soon where I got some former players, and I'll be coaching their kids and things like that. So, you know, it's
I guess that is coming, isn't it?
It's hard to believe, but I wouldn't change a thing.
You've had a lot of success. Yeah. When you look back at the first few years, it was a building process, and you've had a few ups and downs throughout the course of the time. But did you see the potential 16 years ago? Whenever you took the job, or did you just think, oh, I'll be here for a couple of years and I might be able to move somewhere else, a more successful program? Because when you came in, the Mules had won 3 games in 3 years.
Right, and I was a fourth head coach in 4 years. Right. I mean, it was tough. Definitely, I saw the potential. I grew up here. I played here. When I came in as a freshman, you know, we had had some success in the early 90s, and then we had dropped off for a year or two. And
that was probably right after Ron Graham left, right?
And, you know, I knew that we had a good group, and, you know, we took our lumps as sophomores still. I think we won 4 games, starting a lot of – and then, and obviously, our junior and senior year, we went 9-2. So I knew that you could win football games at Fairfield, definitely. Did I intend on getting the head football job at 22 years old? No, that was not the plan. That's it was
kinda,
a job
kind of came on a little side.
Right, it was a job that I knew ultimately down the road. Yeah, I want that job. I'd love to be able to come back and coach in my hometown. But just how things worked out, and when teaching openings come open, and
you take advantage of the opportunities,
and they were able to get some of my old buddies to come back. They had some teaching openings, Coach Wells, Coach Ellis, over at Center Street, and it just worked out. You know, it came together, and
That's also kind of an anomaly too,
right,
in that you've got at least those three you've been coaching together,
right,
for 16 years, haven't you?
Yeah, and like I said, it's been an awesome experience. And you mentioned, you know, the first couple years is a building process,
right,
not only for the program but for the coaching staff. You know, we were young guys, we were kind of learning on the fly. I think we were energetic though, and we were able to relate with the kids. I think we were able to pull out some kids maybe for football that hadn't played in the past, because we knew we weren't a whole lot older than these kids.
You were 23,
right, and
you were in school,
right,
with their older siblings,
right, and I felt like that was an advantage for us going in, because we were able to pull some kids out maybe that wouldn't have played football in the past, and it was just a slow building process. And
did you coach in the NEC at all, or had it was in the middle of the breakup? Right?
Not in the original NEC. I coached my first 2 years after the breakup, where Red Hill and Lawrenceville left.
Okay.
Which did not help us in non-conference games, because we played Robinson and Newton when they were both state ranked,
right,
and I think Newton maybe got state runner up one of those years.
That was the year you were 8-0 and headed up to Newton. Well, not when I guess that's when you played, not when you coached.
No.
Yeah,
no, when I coached. So I mean, we saw some really good teams because of that. But no, and then we switched over to the Black Diamond, and I think it's been a good change for us. I absolutely miss the old NEC. I think you talked to a lot of those old NEC schools. I think they'd probably go back in a heartbeat. You talk to Flora, Red Hill, or Lawrenceville, I think they'd definitely something they'd be interested in. It's just kind of funny how things come full circle.
Yeah, since they were the first ones out.
Right, yeah. And So, but no, like I said, it's been an awesome experience. And
The reason I ask you that, the reason I beat it around this for quite a bit is because there's a new team coming in the Black Diamond Conference this year with Edwards County. Fairfield hasn't played Edwards County in several years at the high school level.
2003, I think, would have been our last time.
So you coached against
them. We used to play Edwards County week one of every season.
Right.
Played in my first 2 years. We won both games, but I think both games were a one touchdown game, very competitive game week one. So we're excited, one, to play Edwards County again, get that kind of rivalry going again. But I'm excited about the 20-minute bus trip.
I suspect. I got to tell you, I remember the drive to Tremont last year.
Oh, man.
That was a haul. Right. Now, granted, Tremont got healthy at the right time.
Yeah, they got healthy and we didn't play very well, and it was just a combination of things.
Of several things.
But I'm not going to know what to do with ourselves that Friday when, just a 20-minute drive.
That's the thing. It's the closest drive you've had in 20 years, 16 years.
Yeah, so, hopefully maybe we can get the Shrine game going back up. We used to do that with the Shriners over there, and just a lot of good things. We played them week one when I was in school too. So I think it's definitely a positive thing to get that back up and going. And I think they're going to be a good addition to the conference. I think it's going to benefit them. Now the big difference, I think the Little Illini and the Black Diamond are very similar conferences team wise. Every year we talk about the upper echelon of the conference, then the lower, and then you got the very same thing in the LIC. Yeah. In my honest
teams
opinion,
teams that struggle and teams
right.
that are successful.
So, the thing, what I do know about Edwards County is I just from my son being an athlete in the 7th and 8th grade level, I know they have some good young athletes coming up, especially in the fresh soft class, and then they got a good mix of upperclassmen that have basically started varsity football since they were freshmen and sophomores. Yeah. So, I look for them to come in and be competitive, definitely. Like I said, I think it's a good addition. I think they'll be happy about the travel time as well.
Yeah.
The one team that is not going to be happy about the travel time is Chester.
Chester loses Alvarado, who they were, it's what, 30 miles,
right.
40 miles, and they pick up Edwards County, which is that 3 hours?
It's over 2.5. This year they go to Fairfield, to Carmi, to Edwards County, and I want to say maybe to Vianna. I'm not sure on the five farthest trips that they have could possibly have in a season. I think they have this season.
No kidding.
They're going to be putting some miles on the bus.
Well, give me a logistical. I've got a logistical question. Now that the conference is closed again,
right?
It's back to a closed conference. Are they going to go back to the rotating schedule again? And next year, Chester will move down, or maybe the year after that.
They are going to rotate it now. That's the plan. So I guess next year, I don't know if they'll wait a year with Edwards County coming. I'm not sure how that's going to work. But how they've done it in the past is every 2 years you rotate the schedule. Week five always stays the same. That's your rivalry week. Right. We play Carmi. So when and if they rotate, Johnston City would roll to week one, and then we're open up with Johnston City and Chester. So better be ready to play.
Well,
that's
the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. The last few years have been closing Chester and Johnston City.
Right. So I think Carmi did that a few years ago. That's kind of how they're – I think it was when Carterville was in, but they always – open up a Johnston City, Carterville, or something like that, and you always knew what you had pretty early in the season.
Carmi got kind of caught at the time whenever Cairo went out, the schedule locked for several years. It seems like Carmi got caught playing. That was the same time the Fairfield was in the kind of the rocking chair
at the
start of the season.
I don't know. We always got off to a great start, but we didn't really know what we had until week four or five.
I'm trying to remember last year, your first game of the season was
Chester.
Was Chester.
At Chester.
Okay, so, that was the first loss, your first loss an opening season game,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So this year, the second year of that rotation, we'll see what happens next year with the schedule. I'm talking with Fairfield Mules head football coach Justin Townsend here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM. We're going to talk about the Mules sometime, Coach.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll do that when we return here on WFIW AM and FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Back in a sec. Playing for it.
Yeah.
Did you hear that at all up at training camp?
A little bit.
Did they play that song? Yeah,
when you first walk in, they have the band going and stuff.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. I'm talking. This is Bruce Dickey Show. My name is Bruce Dickey. That's Justin Townsend over there. He's the FCHS football head coach. And not only did have the kids been working out all summer, you did a little training camp yourself. You headed up to Chicago this year.
Yeah, family and I, we went up to Chicago for the weekend. Saw USA basketball play Venezuela Friday night at the United Center. Pretty cool experience, you know, just to see all those basically all-star team you know, in one place.
Yeah.
And then went on Michigan Avenue and Navy Pier Saturday. And then Sunday, on the way home, stopped at Bourbonnais for the Bears training camp.
I know at the college level you're able to get a chance to meet the coaches and talk to the coaches. Are you able to pro level too? Are they as open?
No, not really. So
you're mainly a fan, as
mainly
opposed to
absolutely it. Mainly a fan, which is fine. You know, it's good to be a fan sometimes.
Yeah,
and put
sure.
the other hat on. It's one of the Bears training camp is one of the they say there are not very many things in life that are free anymore. Bears training camp is still free.
Really?
The public?
How about that?
One of the few teams that doesn't charge anything. Now you better get there early if you want to be able to get up in the action, but basically, you know, they're going to have three or four fields, practice fields, spread out, and you know, they'll break up offense, defense, positions. Just your typical. You're basically watching them practice.
Sure.
And you know, they do have some bleachers set up, but for the most part, you stand and you watch practice. And you know, if you do get there early, you can definitely get some autographs. If you stay late, you can definitely get some autographs. But it's just really neat to see those guys in person getting after it.
They're big too.
Oh, you know, man,
they're just
huge.
Giants.
They're just huge. They're massive guys, and you don't
realize how big pro football players are until you see them.
You know, you think of a wide receiver as a small, quick guy, and you know, and you see Alshon Jeffries and the guy's
6'5",
huge. I mean, he looked like a defensive end. I mean, and then he's fast too. It's just amazing. You know, and I'd say the same thing about the USA basketball team. You know,
sure.
You see these guys on TV, and they're tall. You know, but they're not just tall; they're big dudes. I mean,
then you realize Kevin Durant's 7 feet tall.
Yeah, Kevin Durant. they list him at 6'10" or whatever, but I was like, that guy's 7 foot.
He's 7 feet tall.
I mean, he can, and then he can play. So I mean, pretty neat.
Whenever you go to something like that, are you able to? When you're watching a practice, are you able to learn anything from a drill or maybe that you can bring back with you?
You know,
I guess the reason I'm asking, I'm wondering if you can write this off.
I don't know about that. But I do. I like seeing how they break up practice, which we do a lot of the same things. You know, I think so much of getting better as a team, you have to break up individually a lot of times
sure.
by position and work on things. with your coach, and you know, I wish I had a lot more football coaches. We could break down even more. But
well, yeah, they've got 30 coaches.
Yeah, they got 30 coaches. I look over there, and they got a fullback coach working with two guys.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And you got your tight end coach, and plus they don't have anybody going both ways. So they got offense on one field, defense on one field, and then they got their special teams field. You know, got guys. You know, I always have to laugh that you know. I guess being a punter, long snapper, kicker would be all right in the NFL.
It's not, those guys, not a bad gig, is
those
it?
Those guys didn't do much at all. they're just hanging out on the special teams field, and then they have to come out for about 5 minutes and kick a few balls. But I guess they're the guys, too, that get probably fired the easiest.
Yeah, you know, they get dropped.
You know, if you're a good long snapper, nobody ever knows your name, I guess. You know,
well, that's the thing. They can make one mistake.
Right, and they bring somebody else in on Mondays.
So. Whereas if a tackle, you know, you can make half a dozen mistakes game as long as the quarterback's still able to walk.
Right, yeah.
okay, so you've got practice starting next week, don't you?
Yep, going to start Monday, 8 a.m., 8 to 9:30. And then we'll go again in the evening, 6 to 7:30. We are only allotted 3 hours of practice time the first 5 days
of
camp. That's something that IHSA has done in recent years. They've kind of put restrictions due to the heat and things like that, being a little more proactive, which is fine. You know, our kids come out and they know that if you know they get after it for the 90 minutes we're out there, we're going to be good to go anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And helmets, I guess, right?
Yep, that's the other thing. We're helmets only the first 3 days, and then we go helmet and shoulder pads Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday's the big hit day, full pads.
Oh, really? Finally into full pads the sixth day?
Yep.
Now, the with the school not starting until the 22nd, right?
Yep.
You going to be able to go 2 days a couple of weeks, or how are you going to be able
absolutely.
To do that?
Yeah.
No kidding. that's a lot of 2 days.
Yeah, that's you know, like that's great for the kids that, you know, the school starts late, but it's also great for football coaches.
Sure.
Know? So, you know, I say that we're definitely going to go.
The reason I ask, you've had some years where you got started in two days.
Yeah, and that was it. This is kind of going back to what it was when we were in school.
Yeah.
It seemed like those things went on for a month.
Yeah, yeah. They went on at least 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think, you know, we've had a good 2 weeks of camp. We had 2 weeks of camp the last part of July, and we were able to get a lot accomplished and try to build a foundation going into practice. And that's what we try to do so that when we come August 8th, we can kind of hit the ground running. Now, we're kind of starting over. You know, the second week of camp, we were in helmet shoulder pads.
Right.
You're able to do a little bit, and then you go back to just being in helmets, so you kind of have to, you know, scale down practice a little bit. It'll be a lot of conditioning, obviously.
Oh, I didn't realize you have to go back to helmets.
Yeah, we're just helmets the first 3 days of practice.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking the second week of it. You were able to wear helmets and shoulder pads in camp? Is that what?
The second week, yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to. I think you have to have 5 days and just helmets.
That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Who knows?
I guess they schedule things the way they schedule things.
Right.
And you deal with that.
You just got to have a certain amount of days in a helmet. And then if there was like a certain amount of time in between, like an extended amount of time. Like I say, I had a camp in June, and then we have camp in July. There would have been too much time in between. We had to start over in helmets. It's all about acclimatization, you know, to the heat.
No kidding.
Yeah, so.
That's complex.
So tell me about it.
That's complex.
I got a sheet that I printed off the IHSA, and, you know, it has every day for basically the first 2 weeks of camp that tells me how long we can practice, the amount of recovery time needed in between.
Yeah.
If we want to have a walkthrough, you got to do this.
This is basically to help make sure the kids are staying healthy.
It's all about safety with the kids and being smart with things.
Has that changed a lot in the last 15 years?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It used to, and I don't think there were – the only restrictions you ever had, I think, first 3 days, maybe helmet and shoulder pads, and then you could go full pads.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a while. I can't even honestly remember, but that is one thing. And then the summer, I mean, you could pretty well do whatever you wanted. You had 25 contact days, and some teams would get together with other teams, and they'd actually have, like, a live camp, you know?
Yeah.
So, and a lot of that's concussion protocol. Things have changed with that, and it's all for the good.
Tell me a little bit about the summer program, not the one we've talked about in the past with all the kids put together. I'm talking about the 7-on-7 stuff. When did you get a chance to do much of that?
Yeah.
I know basketball plays scrimmages with people, and football does the same thing, don't they?
Well, you know, we do the all-school Monday and Wednesday. We do a lot of agility-type stuff there with our kids. But Tuesday, Thursdays are when I bring the – actually, it's Monday, Wednesday. Tuesday, Thursday is all-school. Monday, Wednesday is when I bring my football guys in. We do stuff in the weight room. We do that all summer. We put a big emphasis on technique, squat technique, deadlift, bench press technique, just working our core lifts. And about July, we start scheduling some 7-on-7 passing competitions. Now, we do not go all in. A lot of these teams will pay big money to go up to U of I.
To passing camp.
Passing camp, and you know, $300, $400 just to go play in these tournaments.
Per
and,
kid.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous money. And then maybe you get four games. So, you know, we try to schedule things locally. You know, ideally, we schedule with teams that maybe you're not going to see in season, but sometimes it doesn't work. It doesn't work out that way. I know we went down to West Frankfort, played West Frankfort and Cesar, which we don't play Cesar till later in the year. Yeah. And quite frankly, I wanted to see what they had. I knew that they had some younger guys that were pretty athletic, so went over there. We get together with Alney came down and Coach John Warren's at Massac.
Yeah.
Again, he came up. We had them come to Fairfield for a 7-on-7.
It is great to see Johnny back.
Yeah. I'm very happy for him. Seems happy. Went over to – we always get together with Coach Gray over at Red Hill. He's a former college roommate. Red Hill usually comes over. We go over there for a 7-on-7. We went up to Newton, played Flora and Newton on a Saturday. And, you know, we feel like – you know, and what's funny is, you know, we still get we're not really a primarily a passing team.
I was going to say, what do other teams think of when they see Fairfield,
you know,
come
honestly,
in and throw the ball that you're not going to throw it during the regular season?
They like to see, you know, we a lot of times we'll line up in a double tight set, full house backfield, and it's honestly coaches appreciate it because it's something that a lot of these teams we go to, they go to a lot of these, they don't see anything like that.
Yeah.
And the reality is, you know, in the LIC, there's some teams that are, you know, I'm thinking of Newton and Alney off the top of my head. You know, they're spread teams, but they will play some teams that line up in a full house backfield, and they need to be able to defend that, you know. So it's good for their kids to see it. On the flip side for us, it's really good for us defensively to see teams in spread and throwing the football around, and so we can work on our coverage and things like that. And we will get in spread, too, and we'll throw the ball around a little bit. And, you know, I think it's something we're going to be able to honestly do a little bit more of this year. So
let's talk a little bit about this year's squad. You lost a major runner there in Colton Land. But it seems like with the Mules, you like to plug another guy in and just run the ball.
That's the game plan. I mean, that's the hope in our offense that, you know, obviously – Colton was pretty exceptional, you know, and it's going to hurt leaving him. He's going on to McKendree. Going to play at McKendree.
Your alma mater.
Yeah, going to be leaving.
Did
I think
you push
in
him
a few
that
days.
Way?
No, I didn't have to push him. I just thought it'd be a good spot for him though, and he really liked the school, and
that's cool.
It worked out.
That's
so
great.
It's McKendree University now. They're
they're
Division II, coming off 8-2 year, I believe. So.
So he'll get a chance to play some pretty high-level football.
High-level football, absolutely. So, and we lost some other key seniors, definitely. You know, Scott Esmond was a big piece for us. And
I saw you had five kids in the All-Star game or something.
Yeah, we took five kids down to the All-Star game and Southern Illinois All-Star game. So, you know, Ryan Estimer, Robin Davenport, Dylan Toombs were the kids that played in that All-Star game. But, I mean, we had several more that – were big pieces for us.
Yeah.
So it's always hard to replace those seniors. But the good thing is, I think we got some kids that can step in. We have 44 sophomore through seniors.
That's a good number.
I've never had 44 kids sophomore through senior. Now, we've had more kids in the program. We're at 59 because we've had maybe 20 freshmen or something
right.
like that.
Right.
We're at 15 freshmen. I would like to have a few freshmen. There are a few freshmen out there that need to come out and play.
okay.
I'm still hoping they'll show up on August 8th, but the 15 we got are solid. They're kids that, you know, I help with the JFL as much as I can when the season starts, the beginning of the year, and they're kids that I've seen out there since they were in third, fourth, fifth
right.
grade, and they've
right.
been playing. So I just told them they're going to have to be in really good shape so because all of them are going to play. So, but, no, I think we got really good depth.
Tell me about the line.
Up front.
Good experience coming back.
Good experience coming back. I look at Levi Blangie and Ryan Walter, two kids that have started for us last year. We've moved them around position wise a little bit. And then we got some juniors that are going to step right in and I think be pretty good for us. Like I said, we actually, that's the one thing after camp, I think we have more depth there than I realized.
Is that
so,
right?
So that's a positive. I feel like we're almost too deep at every spot.
You mean T-W-O deep, not T-O-O deep.
No, no.
Yeah, you're too deep. T-W-O deep. You're never too deep.
No. I feel like we got two guys at each spot that can play for us, and we're not going to drop off too much. I really like our tight ends. Jaden Lewis.
You lost Kolak.
Who was good for us for a couple years. But we got Jaden Lewis coming back. We're working Dylan Hefner's work some there. Tyler Hooper's work some there.
Must be kind of a security blanket to see a 2-year starter like Bora coming back into the backfield.
Bora, and then obviously McGill got some time at the end of last year. I think those guys are going to be solid for us. I feel like, you know, we have some other guys that can carry the football too, though, because both those guys are going to start on defense. So, you know, that's one thing we want to do a better job. With 44 kids, we don't need to have 9-10 kids playing both ways.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason that we have to do that because we feel like we have some depth that, you know, we don't have to do it. And, you know, I think it's going to be good too. You know, fullback, we got 3 or 4 kids there that we're kind of looking. I think they're all very capable. I think it's going to be good having Macklin coming back at quarterback.
He got some experience time last late year.
Yeah. So, you know, I think everybody's been talking about our defense, but I think our offense is still going to be very solid.
We're going to talk a little bit about the defense when we return here. On the Bruce Dickey Show, I've got Coach Justin Townsend of Fairfield Community High School. We'll be back with more Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 WFIW after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My guest across the way is Justin Townsend. He is the Fairfield Mules head football coach. Let's talk about some dates before we get to the defense, Coach. Yeah. You've got stuff coming up pretty soon, don't you?
Yeah. We already talked about August 8th, first day of practice. August 19th, meet the Mules.
That's a good time.
Yeah, very good time.
And it's not just football team. You're getting everybody out there.
You get there early, get you a meal, 6 o'clock. I think they'll start up volleyball. About 7, they'll start up football. Just a good time to see the athletes.
They introduce the cross-country
everybody.
And all the rest of them.
And then also, I forgot to mention this. I know I've already got a few calls on it because it expired on July 31st. We're going to start our football card sales again on August 10th.
Everybody
can't get their Taco Tierra drink
Everybody's looking for the card right now,
and they expire July 31st. So
you kind of have to wait till the team comes in.
You gotta wait till the team comes in. So we pushed it back a few days because school starts so late. Because the kids like to buy them, obviously, for lunch.
Sure.
So I think August 10th, though, we're looking to start that. So make sure you get your Mules card. That's a big fundraiser for us.
There are some great deals on
absolutely.
That. The Carnaby deal is
Carnaby's great. Really appreciate Christy doing that for us. That's one that you go in the first time and you make your money back easy.
Yeah.
So So 19th, meet the Mules. School starts for the kids August 22nd. So the first home game, Varsity Mules, will be August 26th with Chester, 7 o'clock. And then something new we're doing this year, August 27th, we have a freshman jamboree at Fairfield. We got 18.
What is a freshman jamboree?
We got 8 teams plus Fairfield coming in. And basically, you're going to play, you're going to kind of match them up in pools. You're going to play three different teams. You're going to play them 12 plays on offense, 12 plays on defense. And then you're going to switch and you're going to go play another team.
That's pretty cool.
And it's a good way, you know, especially as freshmen, to get them a lot of experience without maybe getting their brains beat because they don't know what you got. And we aren't keeping score or anything like that. It's just that you just bring them in and let them play. Coaches are out on the field. And so, we do have officials.
Well, that's another thing, though. Right. You might have some teams there that are unable to have a full freshman schedule.
Right, and that's the reason we did it. But we also got Herons coming in.
Oh, really?
Harrisburg's coming in. Cesar, Hamilton County. See if I can remember everybody. Carmi, Olney. Obviously Fairfield, and I'm forgetting somebody. But I mean, we got 9 teams counting Fairfield coming in. So we're going to play some teams that we wouldn't play normally. Yeah. And as I mentioned, the coaches are out on the field. We're going to have 2 games on the game field. You'll start on the 40 and go in, and then we're going to set one up on the practice field too. So we're going to have 3 fields going at once, and should be pretty cool experience. Something we're going to try to do every year.
Well, that's a wonderful
deal. So going to be selling T-shirts. I know there's going to be a big 50-50. JFL is going to do a 50-50 draw.
What time's that start on
that 11 day? O'clock. Game's going to start at 9 o'clock. We're going to try to beat the Heat, plus the JFL plays at home later in the afternoon.
Okay.
So I think the JFL opens up.
You're really putting it on Jeff Heisner, keeping that field good.
August 13th, JFL opens up at home, play Newton. So
you're going to be busy. The field is
going
to be busy.
Going on, coming up, but football season's definitely here. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. That sounds like the thing that replaces is you usually had been playing a full freshman game on that Saturday.
It worked out with, this typically we'd be going to Chester.
Yeah,
Saturday morning. But that's one thing with the travel time. Usually they're just with Chester, we're playing a fresh soft game. So our fresh soft will go there on Monday.
On the Monday.
And what it's allowed us to do is maybe schedule some games on that Saturday, play some other teams. I know our freshmen are playing Mount Carmel this year.
Oh, really?
Something we've done. So that's one thing, unfortunately. Our numbers are pretty solid, but a lot of the schools around freshman numbers are really, really down, and even ours are down a little bit. But I think Flora had maybe 5 freshmen out.
Oh my! It makes it difficult to play.
It makes it tough. You can't play with 5 freshmen.
No.
So, but just a class like that really hurts you in the long run. And so I think our numbers have stayed pretty strong because we've done things the right way. Our JFL's done the right thing. They have all the top-of-the-line equipment. Fred and Dana Gilbert do a lot of work with that. And we teach the kids the right way. And I think everybody's real positive. So our numbers are great, especially compared to everybody else just in the surrounding area.
That's wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about the defense. Coming back, you've got a pretty strong unit, don't you?
Yeah, we feel pretty good about our defense. We are going to change schemes up a little bit, but I'm not going to get into that too much. But it is
– You're the one talking, man.
Yeah, it's – it's going to be a bit more fit our personnel that we have. We feel, as a high school coach, it's not like you can go out and pluck what you want or draft the guys you want, or it's whatever shows up is what you got, and that's offense too. Sometimes you got to adjust some things, but
that's the thing though. You had some honorable mention. You have some all conference kids coming back.
We feel really good up front. We feel like our front 5 going to be pretty solid for us. We got some returning starters and Dylan Hefner, Theron Stewart, Brandon Thomas, and Jaden Lewis. All those kids started for us across the line last year. A linebacker, Chip Simpson's another guy, returning starter for us at linebacker. Secondary, Brant McGill and Wyatt Bohr are 2 guys that have started there since they were sophomores. So, I don't know. I think right off the top of my head, I named 6 or 7 kids that started on defense last year for us. And last
year's defense was no chump.
No. Like I said, we've adapted some things. It's one of those things we feel like we have some depth where we can do some different things. We can package personnel, and you know, that's really when coaching starts getting fun, because you can really be creative with some things, because you know you got some kids that can pick up stuff quickly, and you can put them in a position to be successful, and then hopefully good things happen.
Let's talk a little bit about the rest of the Black Diamond. Yep. Every year it seems like Chester and El Dorado and Johnston City are the teams to reckon with, and that's another thing again this year.
I think El Dorado maybe is above everybody, though.
Is that right?
I really feel like...
Boy, they were solid last year.
Man, they were solid. I think the question mark they have is at quarterback. Everywhere else, though, I think they got a lot of guys coming. Now, they did lose a couple of guys that they're, you know,
they
pretty
had some
physical.
Good young talent.
Really
though.
Good. The Bowen kid was an all-state D lineman, started on the offensive line. You know, he was kind of made their defense go physicality wise. They did lose him, but I think they're going to be the team to beat. I really do. Johnston City are both going to be very, very solid.
Dan Mings does a nice – they had a down year or two down there, but, boy, they've really got him rolling.
I saw somewhere, and I think Johnston City needs to win three games to get their 500th win. Does that sound right? And then maybe he needs – 6 or 7 to get his 200th win as a coach.
I think.
So a lot of milestones possibly there, and I think they're going to be pretty solid. I think Fairfield's going to be in the mix too. I really think we can definitely contend for a conference championship. So I think Carmi, if you're wanting to see a team that's really going to be fun to watch,
they're going to be slinging it.
They're going to throw the ball around like crazy, and
Jake Simon is one of the better quarterbacks we've seen in recent years.
Typical pocket passer, get it out, and they got some quick kids outside that they can get the ball to. So I think
that was one of the things I'm trying to remember from last year's game. Jake Simon was throwing it around against the Mules. He had some untimely drops from some of their receivers. They were a tough, solid team.
Yeah, they were all right last year as far, offensively. They just really struggled defensively. Yeah. A lot of it was depth with them. A lot of the same kids playing on offense that you're playing on defense. And, you go a spread team and you're constantly running routes, and then you got to hop over and play defense.
Then you're
kinda
tired.
That's tough. I think they'll be fun to watch. I really do.
Cesar's always tough.
Cesar's going to be tough. We got to go to Cesar and play. It's late in the season. Their freshman team went 6-7-0 last year. Wow. Our freshmen went 6-1, and they beat us by 3 or 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So their young kids are legit. And I think they may take a few knocks here and there just because they're going to be young, but I really think they're going to be solid, especially by the end of the year when they've figured some things out.
Road trip to Cesar. You got a road trip to Vienna.
Yep, going to Vienna on a Saturday. I'm just glad it's not in September.
October 1st.
Yeah,
that's right.
So hopefully it won't be. We've been down there before when it's been hot and they still don't have lights. I don't know that they have running water there yet, and it's.
I think they have power now.
They don't have the generators going.
No,
anymore.
I think so they're using power. No. They do have power in the field.
It's like the Bermuda Triangle down there. It seems like.
I don't know. On the field, it is too.
I mean,
we're not going to talk about officials.
I was thinking the same thing. Though I'm like. Like, doesn't that guy do wrestling?
Wasn't that guy a state wrestling?
That's funny.
Yeah, we know who we're talking about. Hamilton County's been struggling. Are they going to – they're working at it, aren't
they're
they?
Another team. They're eighth grade, freshman this year, won the junior BDC.
Oh, really?
They're running the double wing offense, what we're running.
Yeah.
They've got some big, strong freshmen. We played – the Fairfield Colts played them in basketball. They weren't necessarily basketball players, but they were big and physical. Yeah. So I think they may be football-like type kids. So I think they're going to get better too. Christopher, I think they got to continue to improve. Their numbers are always solid.
Right.
One thing they're doing, they've started up a JFL program.
See them in week two.
Yeah, so they started up a JFL program. I think they're going to continue to get better. So. And then we already mentioned Edwards County. So,
well, you sounds like you're going to have your hands full.
Right, absolutely. You have to play week in and week out, be ready to go. I think week one's obviously huge for us with Chester.
Chester on he's focused on Chester on August 26th. Let me alter your focus a little bit.
Right.
Talk to folks. Tell me how important Lovie Smith will be to the University of Illinois.
We were talking a little bit off air. I think Illinois finally went all in with the hire. You know, we always try to beat around the bush and save some money, and I think we finally went all in. We found a guy, and you know, Lovie's saying all the right things, but you know, we have everything in place to be a top program in the nation. You know, the only thing we don't probably have going for us is it's not warm and 80 degrees all year round. You know, that's the only thing hurting us. But I think our facilities are going to get online with everything else. We played, obviously, a Power 5 conference.
So. You're a Bears fan. Were you sad to see Lovie go from the Bears? I mean, you're a big Lovie fan when he was a Bears coach, right?
I was sad to see him go. I thought it kind of changed. We went from being a tough defensive-type team, which is what I think you got to be in Chicago, to more of an offensive-based team.
Yeah.
And now look at where we're at.
Now you're rebuilding a little.
We went 10-6 and he got fired. You're telling me we wouldn't have taken 10-6 the last couple of years.
I got to tell you, every Bears fan I know would have.
But now he's in Illinois. So I guess if that was going to happen, okay, maybe Illinois can get back to where we need to be.
I can tell you're looking forward to it. I am too. Yeah.
And it's not going to happen overnight. But I hope they give him the time to get his recruits in and get this thing up and going, because I think some good things are going to happen.
Justin, thanks for coming in and talking football.
Appreciate it.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. Have a great one.